Hello and a really warm welcome to Successful Student Transitions, where we aim to provide support and inspiration for teens and young adults as they step out of school, college, into the world of work and further education. And welcome to this new series, Lean into Student Life. This is an 8-week series devoted to supporting first year students as they settle into university life. Now, if you're a parent or educator listening, please forward this on to anyone you know who's settling into uni life. And if you're a student in your first year, you're in the right place. And I wonder, how is it all going? You're probably well into the first term now, and hopefully you're beginning to feel settled at uni. For many, we know these initial weeks, even months, can be a bit of a rollercoaster ride, and we're here to support you on this journey through this series. From the first episode in this series, episode 99, until the last, episode 106, at the beginning of December, we're going to be sharing 5 tips per episode to support you practically and emotionally and give you the know-how and confidence boost you need to not just survive, but thrive in your first year. And if you're keen to follow these episodes, then why not subscribe to the series for free? Get the series delivered to your inbox every Monday for the next 8 weeks and access a very handy bonus, summarized show notes for each episode, so you can make the most of each episode. You can register for access to this series via successfulstudenttransitions.com/lean-in. So it's successfulstudenttransitions.com/lean-in. So let's get into this episode. Setting yourself up for long-term success is a marathon, not a sprint. So you've survived your first few weeks at university, and that's really worth celebrating. But between the social whirl of freshers week and settling into your new life, have you checked in with how you're really doing? In this episode, we share 5 powerful strategies to help you review your progress, tackle procrastination, and build sustainable habits that will carry you through the rest of the term and beyond. From the science of savoring to filling your well-being bucket, this is your essential guide to thriving, not just surviving, university life. So let's get started.
So in this podcast, we're sharing 5 tips for reviewing how you're doing at university. We will really lean into what's going well. So it's early days, and you're still likely in the entry phase of the transition cycle that we had introduced in podcasts 1 and 2. You're at the beginning of your university life. Let's take some time to dwell on your successes. It could be useful to write them down and notice the good stuff that you are making happen and the positives in the environment. The psychological term for this is savoring, where we intentionally celebrate what's going well, paying attention to positive thoughts, feelings, and the things you're doing. This focus strengthens and lengthens positive emotions. It's something you might be doing already, and it's certainly something we can learn to do more, make a space for this to happen. And it's really important to focus on just some small things that you've achieved. I had a friend who moved to South America. She wasn't able to speak Spanish very well, but she viewed her early days of buying bread in a local bakery as a great success. It brought her huge positive emotions. There were plenty of things she didn't know how to do, so bringing this sense of achievement brought her no end of joy.
As a student, I mean, there are lots of things that you perhaps can think about that are worth savouring. You know, the things that you're doing, what have you been doing in the last weeks to look after yourself? You know, it could have been you've made your room a lovely, cosy, safe place. So that's a nice place to be. It's nice to sit there and savour that comfort. Making friends, joining clubs and societies, you know, perhaps you're pleased with yourself for trying something new. I mean, brilliant, great, good on you for getting out there and doing stuff that scares you, but then doing it successfully. So that's a great thing to congratulate yourself, to celebrate and to savour. And also how you're looking after yourself, you know, hopefully you're eating well, perhaps you're taking some exercise. So recognising the achievement in that And then also being independent and away from home. I mean, that is a big step if you've never lived away from home. So recognize that, to recognize the progress you've made there. And then also the new things you're learning, and not just the academic things, everything that you're learning day to day.
Yeah. And, you know, that learning bit about, it's about savoring settling into work as a student. Maybe you've completed all the paperwork that you needed to do. There's usually a huge amount of stuff about, you know, enrolling in your courses or signing up to things. So you might have that completed, or a chunk of it done, or some of it done. So savor that. You know, you'll likely have an academic tutor or an advisor. Have you met them yet? Or have you a date to meet them? Perhaps any other planned meetings? Those are really good things to get on and savor. Are you starting to feel more familiar with this place that you're in? So something that you notice that you've done or you're doing with in regards to work or study, the way you're organizing your student life, is something to really kind of savor and sort of notice that, how, you know, the good things that you're doing.
Yeah, and I think thinking about, you know, how you're getting around and getting to know your new environment. So, you know, knowing now that you can walk up to that lecture, you're not having to rush around trying to find out where it is. You now know where that is. You've perhaps worked out where you want to study. You've got your nice study space that you enjoy, that you can take your coffee, your tea, your hot chocolate to, and sit and enjoy some peace while you focus on the work. That's something to celebrate and savor. Knowing that you can arrange to meet a friend, you now know where you could go on campus. So that's great too. You know, and what's good about your accommodation? What are you enjoying about the accommodation? Does it bring together friends? Are you enjoying the chats in the kitchen together of an evening? Or perhaps things that you do off campus, if you're living off campus as well, as some of you will be. And then the journeys that you take, you know, taking the bus, you're getting to know the routes around, you're getting to know what to jump onto, if it's a bus or a train, the facilities that are around on the campus, but also if you're near a city, in the city as well. There may be other things that we've not mentioned that have sprung to mind as I've been talking away there. So yeah, think about it from your perspective and what has had meaning and has been something that you want to savour and recognise as positive in the experience so far.
So if you've got those things or some things in the list that you notice, there'll be things that you didn't know weeks ago. So there's been a lot of learning in this time. So if you want to pause the recording just after this and say, take some time to focus on a few of these achievements, kind of step into that experience to really feel what's going well. When you do this, notice your inner world. How does this make you feel? What are you thinking about? What are you noticing about yourself? What are you noticing in the things around you? That's savoring. And Louise and I are going to savour some things for ourselves too now. So pause the recording and then do a little bit of that and then come back to it when you've finished. So welcome back, and hopefully you've been able to lean into some good things that have been happening. Louise, what did you notice when you were savouring some of your achievements, some of the good stuff?
Yeah, I think one of the things is when you write stuff down, you actually physically write it down, or actually type it into computer or notes or whatever it is you use on your phone. But as you, that act of, you know, writing it down helps you focus on them. And yeah, you feel good about yourself. That's even a sense of pride about what you're achieving and what you've achieved so far. I sort of felt pride around a few of the things that I've done recently and wrote down. And probably there are some things that I hadn't really thought about that I should recognise that I've done well in the past week or so. So that was helpful too. All of that helps me to feel a stronger sense of positive emotion. And actually it also links to, there's a psychological theory called the Broaden and Build theory, which is based on research into positive emotions. And it says that when we focus on creating experiences or reflecting on positive things that generate positive emotions, we build the way our brain responds to opportunities and challenges. So it will see them in a positive way, and we'll see more. So for example, our peripheral vision, apparently, and the studies have shown this, that when we are feeling more positive emotions, our peripheral vision expands so we can see more widely and seize more opportunities. And our brain is also flooded with good chemicals such as serotonin and dopamine, and that helps us to think more innovatively and feel safe, and also to collaborate more. So that's really great if your task now is to meet new people, make friends, colleagues on your courses, and so on. So there are really positive things, and also it helps us to feel safe as well, the dopamine, which is a really important thing in your new environment. And just to emphasize, we're not just talking about positive thoughts for positive thoughts' sake. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is think about positive experiences that have generate positive emotions. It's not just a thinking thing, it's a feeling and relating to experiences thing. So it's not that 1980s when I first started working in sales, it was all about positive mental attitude. That's not what we're talking about at all here. There are real positive benefits of enhancing your positive emotions in this way.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, writing it down or having it in some way in front of you really helps you focus more on that good stuff that has happened, you know, so it's not imagining the stuff in the future, although that can happen too. So writing it down or recording it in some way really helps focus, savoring, as does taking photographs to capture an image that you can return to, you know, an image of that cozy room that you can look at, or a place that where you are, you know, a lecture theatre or a room where, or a building where you are, or a group of friends. Those are going to help your savouring. And sharing what's been going well with someone else, maybe a parent or a friend, can also increase these positive emotions. So it's a good thing to do. And if it worked well for you, if that kind of really thinking and stepping into that moment worked for you, it's something to add that maybe will be a helpful strategy for you kind of now and in the future. So you could read some more about savouring if you want, but Louise and I would highly recommend it. So tip two, Louise, what's tip two?
Okay, so tip two is all about prioritising and acting on doing the important stuff. So looking to the future and thinking about what's coming up, and trying to keep on top of the things that need to be done. When you view what's going well, you'll likely also think about the things that need some attention as well. So perhaps that exercise has also made you think about what else you need to be doing. And if it does, has, then jot those things down. And that's natural, it happens to us all. You know, when we're focused on what's going well, that's great. But we also, at the same time, need to be having a good balance about meeting deadlines, keeping arrangements, and doing the things that ultimately will support us to more positive activities and therefore hopefully generating positive emotions. So think about what you need to be doing. There may be some things that are important you find it hard to get round to doing. Some tasks that kind of never make that list, or if they do make that list, never get to the top. Do you know what those are? Perhaps have a think now about what they may be. I know I'm quite good at doing this. And it's really useful to reflect and just think about patterns that perhaps are starting to emerge. And then you ask yourself, well, what might help me here? You know, and it's early days now, so you've got time to focus on this. And also remember that inner compassion that we talked about last week. You know, transition take a lot out of us. So you might be saying things to yourself like, well, this transition has been challenging at times and it's taken quite a bit out of me. I'd been really busy settling in. So therefore, there are really good reasons why I haven't done things. And that's absolutely fine. Give yourself some kindness. And that's one way to support you into doing what you need to do. If we beat ourselves up, then we tend to be feeling negative and not like doing stuff. But if we talk to ourselves in that compassionate way, we're more likely to then say, okay, well, what am I going to do next? And if you want to hear about nurturing, more about nurturing self-compassion, then listen to podcast 5. And there is a question here, and it is, might procrastination be in the air? You might have plans about what you're going to do during the day and then find that the day ends and most of it hasn't happened. And it's really good to remember and being kind to yourself, this is important for you to note that procrastination peaks at your age, at the age of going to university. So the two things coincide, you know, the transition to university plus procrastination as an issue. You know, and you've got more free time and freedom to do what you want to do. You haven't got those routines imposed by school and parents. So you're also learning to organize yourself. So you've got all of that going on at the same time. So it's good to lean into what's going on in your mind, you know, and ask yourself, well, okay, that task needed to be done yesterday. Why didn't I get to it? What stopped me? Maybe you think it's too hard, it's too big, it's too much for you right now. If so, there are ways that you can approach it. And we have a podcast just for that on procrastination, episode 7. So you might want to go and listen to that. But I know, Elizabeth, you have some great tips about what to do when you're delaying something, when you're putting it off. What are those?
Yes, there was a saying by Mark Twain, if you've got two frogs to eat, a big frog and a little frog, eat the big one first. So do the difficult thing first. And even this morning, I had a few things to do. I had an email that was a bit tricky and I did it first. And so I noticed when I'd done it and it was finished and complete, you know, it's not going to be sitting around on my back all day, giving space to do other things that I wanted to do. So, you know, I think sometimes people think, oh, if I just start off with some easy things that will get me into the flow. The research doesn't say that. It says eat the big frog first.
That's great. And also, you know, it's a motivation thing, perhaps slightly. You know, you kind of need to do the work to get into and create motivation. But also, you know, if you have a strong reason for why you're sitting here and an interest in what you're doing, that really helps. So I know probably the first weeks of this term, you've been focused on social stuff, you know, making those friends and getting involved in the community. That's really, really important. But perhaps now it's useful to spend some time reminding yourself about why you chose this course, why you chose this university, because that will help you remind yourself of the priorities and what you also need to be attending to, i.e. your course and the work, and remind yourself about why it is worthwhile to be where you are and to be focusing on the work that you need to be doing. Anything else, Elizabeth?
I really like the word yet. Yet, I think, brings a kind of hopeful idea that I'm working on it. You know, I've not settled my routine yet. I haven't made that appointment yet. It's all about progress. You know, you're making progress towards all these things. There's no expectation you're going to have it all done in that first month. So, you know, with it, there's an awareness of what's going on. You're getting things done and it takes time. So I'm not there yet, but I've got plans to get there. So yet is a good word.
Yeah, I have yet written on my computer in greatly capital letters. My daily reminder. Yeah.
So tip 3 is to check in with yourself and just see how you're doing. So aiming for a balance. The balance is what we've talked about doing what's going well, focusing on that, building that into your kind of savoring skills, but also at the same time, addressing priorities of the things that, you know, might need to be done that are maybe a bit more challenging. And we're going to suggest you try to keep both these aspects of doing well going, continuing to notice and savor. It's easy to forget that when you're overwhelmed by some challenges, and keep your eye on the important stuff, trying to work out what helps you, how to create your own unique strategies and plans and use them. And it's important to keep a review like this going. I know some people, students at university, might do a kind of weekly plans or some monthly plans. And that's a really good thing to be able to do. Anything else to add here, Louise?
Yeah, I perhaps think, suggest that it's quite helpful to sort of notice when things start to slip. I think that's the advantage of checking in regularly. You'll begin to see the slippage before it becomes a major calamity and disaster, i.e. you miss that first deadline. So if you're checking in weekly and thinking, am I on track? Am I following and doing what I need to be doing? Then you're going to see those early signs that, yeah, I didn't actually finish what I needed to last week. So therefore, I need to adjust things this week to help you get back on track.
I agree with that as well. And, you know, as the term goes on, there's going to be some growing challenges. And remember, you know, you might need to reach out for some help. And that's an important skill. And as another previous podcast, we talked about that. So remember, you're in a place where learning is at the core of why people are here. So if you learn that you need some support to do something, this is a time you'll find out with that checking going back and forward. It's a really good thing to ask for help at this point.
Yeah. And there's many sources of support and help. So it's really important that you familiarize yourself with them and then use them. That's why they're there. Okay. So tip four is all about filling what we call your well-being bucket. So it's quite likely that you've been burning the candle at both ends so far. Everything's new and you're perhaps a bit tired. You may have had a touch of fresher's flu and you had to work at moving into the reality of student life and recognizing that it's more than fresher's week now. It's going to become something else, and that's around all the academics and the studying. And so what we want to do at this point is introduce you to a concept that we call the well-being bucket, which we introduced in series 3 of this podcast, which is called Fundamentals for Wellbeing. And really, we start with the premise that we all have well-being. You know, it's innate within us. And if you stop to think right now, you may be feeling tired, perhaps a bit flu-y, or you may be feeling fine and happy. But, you know, if you think about it, you're here and your body are functioning. There is some well-being about you. So we want to imagine a bucket, and in that bucket is that level of well-being that you currently possess and feel that you have. And of course, the idea is to keep your bucket as full as possible of well-being so that you feel good and you have the energy to do what you need to do to be the person that you want to be. And we have a tap to fill our bucket with things that help and support ourselves. So at the top of the bucket is the tap. We can choose to switch that on and support ourselves with these well-being practices, which we'll come on to talk about in a minute. But as well as the tap, unfortunately, there are some holes in the bucket. And those are the drains that we have on our everyday well-being. The holes might be small and they might have very little impact on our well-being overall. But they could also be bigger holes that then have a bigger effect on how we're feeling and leave us with little reserves. And times of change, such as this, and periods of transition, are times when our well-being bucket comes under a little bit more pressure than when you were comfortably living at home. And, you know, we're likely to have more drains on your bucket than you did perhaps over the summer vacation, for example. And the other thing to remember out of our bucket is it's not sitting in isolation, because we, as individuals, don't sit on our own. Well, we might do in our room for a while, but as soon as you go out, you're moving out into a community where you're mixing with people, and they all have their own buckets too. You know, the drains may come from actions that you take, but there may also be drains that come from other people on your bucket, in your bucket, and vice versa. You know, you may drain other people's buckets in some way too. That's something to be conscious of. And, you know, some example of some drains that we might be facing. You know, as you're living in a new environment, there's still some element of uncertainty. At times, you may feel a little bit overwhelmed and fearful about the things that you're doing that are new and different. Then, from a practical perspective, there have been some late nights, I'm quite sure, some lack of sleep, some noise that perhaps has kept you awake at night from other students. You may not have been eating as well as you normally eat. You may have been drinking a few too many. And you may have just been feeling a bit lethargic because you're tired, because you're having to take in so much. You are feeling tired. And so you haven't moved as much. You haven't got your fitness routine going, if you have one. Your organisation, as we've already discussed, might not be perfect. And of course, social life, you're having to make an effort all the time. And whilst that hopefully is beginning to go okay for you, it still involves effort, which at times can be a drain on your wellbeing bucket. But the good news is we can fuel our bucket. And really with the opposite of all those that I've just mentioned. So you can sleep better and decide to have an early night. You can eat better and decide to eat some of the green stuff as well as the pizzas. You can build in some rest and recovery, time when you allow yourself and give yourself permission to do what you know you need to do to recuperate and rest. And you can choose to go and move and take some exercise in whatever way you enjoy. I'm not prescribing going to the gym there. That's down to you. A walk in nature is just as good. And so I think it's really important to think about this and take note of this for yourself and ask yourself, what do you do that fills your bucket? What can you do more of that fills your bucket? Elizabeth, anything else to add here?
No, I was just kind of listening to you talking about that, and I was thinking, savouring fills my bucket. You know, and I guess that's my kind of inner sort of mind, you know, doing those things, kind of practice of what. But I know green spaces are really important for me, and the university I went to had a wonderful green campus set outside a city, and I really loved the changing landscape of colour and the ice and the loch that was there. It really kind of filled my bucket. So being part of that environment really did a lot for me, I think. And like you were saying, movement was really important for me and continues to be important for me now, whether I'm walking or running, and it's something I can do on my own or with others. So I'm really quite aware of what fills my bucket now.
Yeah. I think that's a great technique to have for life, really, isn't it? To work out what fills your bucket and to then prioritize that for yourself.
Mm. Shall we, last tip, pay attention to the fundamentals. So we've mentioned things like eating, sleeping, movement, rest. We've kind of already mentioned those things. And in previous podcasts, 24 to 35, Louise and I had a really good session on talking about 10 fundamentals to be aware of. These are the things that have a positive effect on your well-being, especially at adjustment times. These are the things, the reminders of things to fill your bucket and to notice when these are going well or they need some attention. And you might have included those before when we were talking about focus on the good stuff or where you need to pay attention, but our list kind of goes a bit like this. Sleep, movement, eating, nutrition, rest, relationships, community, money, your finances, your inner world, meaning and mattering, and organization. And you can listen to these podcasts again. You can go back and have a good listen to them. But there are things to focus on about what's going well for you in particular, or where you need to kind of focus on and maybe get to, maybe you're not doing it yet, but bring them into focus so you can develop some new routines. And it's good to keep a check on this. So Louise, can you give us a summary of our 5 tips today?
Absolutely. And just one thing to add to that is just to make the point that our well-being is really an individual, our well-being sits in sort of a collective environment, obviously, because other people's well-being impacts us, but our choices about what we do to enhance our well-being is a very personal thing, I think. So we suggest those 10 episodes, but that's not because we're saying you have to do all of those. We're saying here are some options and here are some ways to think about these things, and then you choose what appeals to you. So I think it's really important to say, and it's a flexible thing, it changes, you can change it. There's no definitive answer to what's, you know, definitely best for your well-being. Although sleep does come quite high. So the 5 tips. The first one was lean into what's going well. Really notice the supportive, helpful things you're doing. This brings positive emotions. Tip 2, prioritize and act on doing the important stuff that you might put off. Your suggestions of how to do this and finding what works for you. Tip 3, checking in with how you're doing. Maintain a balance of noticing what's going well and acting on those challenges before they become bigger issues. Tip 4, fill your well-being bucket. Be active in priming yourself for success, for yourself, with others, and in your environment. And tip 5, pay attention to the fundamentals, knowing that there is a dynamic at work here. Lots of factors that interrelate, so the individual choice, but all the factors interrelate as well. So thanks so much for listening. Now remember, if you want to go deeper, we've created something special for you,
an online space where you can go and review the content of this episode and past episodes in this series using the show notes we've created for you. They're packed with reflection questions and some additional resources designed to support you on this university journey. You can gain access now by going to successfulstudenttransitions.com/lean-in. That's successfulstudenttransitions.com/lean-in. A space for you to reflect, learn, and plan for your university success. So we'll be back next week with the next episode in this series. Meanwhile, take care. Bye-bye for now. And now for the legal bits. The information contained in this podcast is for information purposes only. The content is not intended to act as a substitute for professional advice. Please do not delay in seeking professional help for any medical or mental health condition. Use of the information on this podcast and associated materials is at the user's own risk.